Corey Moore is here. Good evening, Corey. Thank you so much for joining at this very late hour. I do appreciate
Happy to join you. I can't believe, it's already getting dark outside. So
how about it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're at that point of the summer. So, yeah, I'm happy to be with you. How are you?
I'm very good. And how about you?
I'm good.
Good. So before the top of the hour, when I was telling folks that you were coming on, I teased this thing about Abraham Lincoln, and it says got mad, like really mad, at the Tribune, and there's a picture of the letter. I'm assuming that's what that is, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, so let me ask you something. So you go through the archives. So did you physically find this letter?
I did not physically find it, but somebody else at the Tribune did. And it's pretty amazing. Yeah, he was so mad at the Tribune, he decided to write in a letter. And it was in, 1858?
Yeah, something like that.
It was addressed to the editor-in-chief. And honestly, I have no idea how it stuck around this long. I think it's probably because it was in somebody's files, and I think it lives at Cantini Park out in Wheaton.
Oh,
in their archives now.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln. You just never know. We get a lot of letters to the editor, but get one from the president. Yeah, that means something, right?
You got in the article here that a Lincoln scholar said that this is the angriest, nastiest written statement Lincoln ever produced. What was he up? Do you know what he was so upset about?
Yeah, he was. Let me pull it up right here. He called it poisonous thorns that the Tribune was spreading. One of the quotes was, "How in God's name do you let such paragraphs into the Tribune? Does Sheehan write them?" He said that was the editor of the Tribune's chief rival at the time. And Lincoln continued by saying, "I confess it astonishes me." And it actually wasn't the first time he had written a letter to the Tribune, but
really,
absolutely. Yeah. The most mad one that we have
was okay. So this is June 11th, 1858.
Yes. And it was part of.
I'm really bad on history. When was he president? He wasn't president then, was he, or was he?
No. Not quite yet. I think he wasn't president until.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, put me on the spot. And somebody sitting out there right now saying, "Corey, it was 1861. He became president."
don't worry. They're using my name in vain too. Trust me. I know that is a fact.
So he wasn't president quite yet.
Right. Because that would be a little unusual that the president of the United... Wait a minute. My mind is twirling, as you can tell. So he's reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
Obviously, John. How does he get it? How does Abraham Lincoln and anybody else get the newspaper in 1858? I mean, he's not living in Chicago, is he? No.
No, but I believe the Tribune was shipped down to Springfield at the time. Let's see, in 1858. What was Abraham Lincoln doing in 1858?
Well, I mean, how did they circulate the Tribune then? I mean, horseback?
Oh, back in the day? Yeah. It must have been horseback. I think he was... Let's see. He was definitely in state. He was in politics.
Yeah.
And let's see here. What did he do? What was he up to? So 1858. This is the time of the Lincoln Douglas
debate. Yes.
So he was trying to beat Stephen Douglas to get elected to the U.S. Senate, and was. I believe he was unsuccessful, if I remember right. But let me see.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just flashed on. All right. He's complaining to the Tribune. It's a newspaper. He's Abraham Lincoln. How does the hands of Abraham Lincoln get on a copy of the Chicago Tribune? I don't know. I mean.
Right. Right.
Obviously, they had a way of recirculating newspapers then, John. Hello. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. My thought process here is that he had somehow had access to it in Springfield, or he was often in Chicago or some, you know, a lot of politicians, when they're trying to make a name for themselves, they try to be up in arms about a lot of different things so that they get a little notoriety from that.
Really?
So part of me, so part of me wonders if this was not only a response, but it was a way of giving him a bigger platform.
A ploy, so
getting
to speak.
His name out there a little bit more. So maybe I wonder if that's what this was. Apparently, I think the Tribune had something like five letters to the editor from Abraham Lincoln. And this was one of them, apparently. So, yeah.
My. I learned something today that I had no idea where the name Dairy Queen came from. But I find this to be completely fascinating. This would be what, according to your vintage archives here, June 22nd, 1940. Apparently, the original Dairy Queen opens at 501 North Chicago Street in Joliet. So Sherwood, I'm reading your stuff. Sherwood Noble, known as Sherb, started selling soft serve ice cream, which had been created by his friend J.F. McCullough at his Kankakee ice cream store in 1938. He chose the name of the new shop to reflect his belief, quote, "The cow was the queen on the dairy industry." I had no idea that was, that's
interesting. Neither did I.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since 1940. I've been to Dairy Queen. I don't know how many times. I never thought at all about where the name came from. I just sort of assumed that's been its name. I never realized that it was actually an homage to a cow.
Yeah, isn't that great? I agree, John. I didn't know either. And I grew up in suburban Des Plaines, where the first McDonald's was, under Ray Kroc. And it's kind of sad to me, because now if you drive through Des Plaines by that location, it's just a gravel lot. And it's kind of the same thing with this original Dairy Queen in Joliet. It was on the first floor of a two-story building, and there's really nothing there to market to say, like, hey, this is where the original Dairy Queen started. But apparently the idea of soft serve ice cream was relatively new back in the late 1930s. And so this was a total innovation. Like, okay, now we are going to have this machine where you can get a cone, and instead of scooping it out, it's going to be dispensed from a machine. And, it was kind of hard to research this story without wanting to go to Dairy Queen and get a blizzard.
Well, it's a business expense. Come on. Yeah.
I will tell my editors that you say so, Jeff.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You.
I mean, come on. The Dairy Queen is, you have to research the story to find out the status of the soft Dairy Queen ice cream today, so that we can, you know, relate to the story from 1940. I mean, after all, remind them that the cow is queen of the of the dairy industry. And
it's
kind
of funny.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's kind of funny. And my mother-in-law, who grew up in Southern California, she was actually named Miss Dairy Queen, in her farming community in Southern California. Yeah. So I can't help but hear Dairy Queen and think of her every time. Aww. But yeah, it's
nice.
Yeah.
So let me get this right here. Sherman Noble is the person who started selling the ice cream. According to your Tribune records, he died in 1991. And Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway acquired Dairy Queen in 1997? Does he still have it?
Yes.
I have no idea. Really?
As far as I can tell, that's still part of
unbelievable
Warren Buffett's portfolio.
Wow. Yeah, he doesn't miss a trick. Amazing.
No.
That Berkshire Hathaway has Dairy Queen. Amazing.
He knows what he likes, I guess.
Yes, I guess so. Yeah, it's time again for Genuine Dairy Queen, the cone with the curl on top. Here's downright good refreshment. Dairy Queen is delicious, fresh, whole milk and sweet cream food, frozen seconds before you eat it. Sanitary, served right from freezer to you. Nutritious, refreshing, satisfying. Try Dairy Queen today. You know, you're right. Considering the temperature around here, it's about time we all leave right now. Oh, they're probably closed. But I know that there's a Dairy Queen near me. So when you go to Dairy Queen, do you get a cone by any chance?
Oh my gosh. I always have such a hard time choosing because it's like, I like the dip cones. I like the blizzards. I like the dilly bars. I want all of it, John. And the birthday cakes. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Oh, come on now. That is something. They are something else. No, truly. But when I was a kid, which is, of course, a long, long time ago, but after 1940, I'll tell you, you know, me and my buddies, we would, and I'm sure a lot of people did this. There was a Dairy Queen relatively nearby. You ride your bikes over there, right? And you get your Dairy Queen. And I always got the cone dipped in chocolate, right? And then it had the curly Q on top. Then I'd bite the top off. And then attempt to sort of like inhale the Dairy Queen through the hole into my mouth. It didn't really work. You know, the chocolate would collapse, but it was, that was my methodology of doing Dairy Queen. What can I say? For years and years. Yeah, I was like, I wasn't really interested in any of the other things they had. You give me that Vanilla Queen dipped in chocolate and... that's all, and I'm good.
You are a strange man.
Why? What's so strange about that?
It's so good.
I'm not the only. I'm not the only person that did that.
All right.
In fact, I do.
It just sounds kind of odd.
I'd do it again if I had the opportunity right now. If I had.
Then what's your order, David? If you think
I would go for chocolate with chocolate fudge over it.
Oh.
Wow.
I'm serious. I'm serious. Yeah, I get serious. I don't waste time. It's like, no. Don't put any raspberry sauce on it, okay? Just chocolate ice cream, preferably dark chocolate fudge.
Yes.
Let's keep it simple. I'm a happy camper.
You know, another one of the challenging things was that I always enjoyed was like, unless they've changed this, it's been a while. The cone size, the cake cone size was pretty much universal, regardless of how much Dairy Queen you piled on top of it, right? I would get the large, whatever that is, which is like the cake cone with layer and layer and layer and layer and layer of Dairy Queen. And hey, what can I tell you? I had a good time.
Have you been to Ghirardelli's lately?
Me?
Oh.
No.
Have you, Corey?
No.
Oh, all right.
What? Come on.
So good. So good. Tell us.
Well, they have this thing that they make, and it's their chocolate ice cream, then it's fudge, chocolate ice cream, fudge.
Oh, my God.
Chocolate ice cream, fudge, with hot fudge over the top, with some fudge over the top, with one of their chocolate squares in it.
Is that a sundae? It's not like a sundae?
It's something that I would do maybe twice a year because it's just rich. Very, very wonderfully rich.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, David. He's getting a little, I don't want to have saliva get in contact with the equipment.
No.
It's
like in the middle of January.
Yeah.
I look like it's July.
Okay. The man likes his chocolate. Mm. Hey, Corey, having you on for half an hour is just too short, but that's the way it is tonight. So tell us, how do we get the vintage Chicago Tribune, which is, of course, the result of your toiling through the archives of the Trib?
You just search my name, Corey Rumor, at chicagotribune.com, or you can sign up. The newsletter's free. Go to chicagotribune.com/newsletters, and I'm the one that says Vintage Chicago Tribune. Comes out every Monday and Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And directly into your inbox, right?
Exactly right. Exactly. You don't have to do anything else.
All right, Corey, thank you so much for being with us. Look forward to the next time, which will be have to be earlier and longer. Thank you.
I agree. Thank you, John. Bye.
You bet.